Amen. All right. Well, hey, how many of you guys ever heard the saying, just when you thought it couldn't get any worse? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Obvious thing happens, you know, people make bad decisions, unfortunately. Like, first of all, the guy that starts off at KFC, the next thing you know, he winds up at Popeyes, and then he ends up at Cane's. You know, it's downhill. That's just, yeah, it's not good. Well, believe it or not, in all seriousness, this is the same thing, folks, that's been going on with the COVID pandemic and the COVID death shots. Just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, for those of you who've been here the last couple of studies, we saw that, hey, even though the unfortunate news is people, even early whistleblowers like we have been on this issue, they're silent on this issue, and they're giving people the impression that, well, hey, we're free and clear. That's not what we saw. We saw that people are still dying like flies over those shots, number one. Then last time we saw that people are being genetically modified with those shots. And then if you thought that was bad, now reports are coming out that people very well have been marked for who knows what reason when getting those shots. Here's the latest what's going on. Watch this.
Emotionally, it is easy to dismiss the work of Dr. Anna Maria Mielchia, for it is very disturbing. But her work is shown through scientific testing and backed up by government and NGO documentation. And the evidence shows that humanity has already been infected with cutting-edge surveillance nanotechnology. New research shows that those who receive the COVID shots emit a fluorescent orange glow in their faces that is visible under a UV light 365 nanometers. And those who have been exposed to shedding emit this glow around their nose. After his wife was coerced into getting the COVID shot, PhD Justin Coy began his own research. He found that the more shots a person received, the more they glowed under UV light. The glow can be seen initially around the nose, and over time spreads throughout the entire face and into the neck. In 2008, a biological nanotechnology pesticide designed to kill the brown moth in the state of California was deployed and appears to have included the same sort of fluorescent invisible microdye that we see in the scientific research. Dr. Hildegard Staninger tested individuals exposed to this nanotech pesticide and found that a glow could be detected in their eyes under UV light. Dr. Staninger called this the Eye of Horus effect due to its similar appearance and claimed it was due to the use of fluorescent thiocyanate in the pesticide, which according to the literature would have been used to track the effectiveness of the dispersal. The idea has been around for decades. The Institute for National Security Studies, Non-Lethal Weapons, Terms and References, published in 1997, discusses an invisible infrared dye which is visible under UV light so that rioters can be later identified. Justin Coy points out how the genetic code for luciferase, a bioluminescent enzyme found in nature, is included in the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, along with SV40, which could theoretically allow the luciferase to be written into the genetics of the recipient. Coy proposes that this could be what is causing the vaxxed to glow under UV light. The TRACE Act, HR 6666, COVID-19 Testing, Research, and Contacting Everyone Act, was introduced in May of 2020. The bill authorizes the Centers for Disease Control to contact, trace, and monitor the population. In late 2020 and early 2021, people all over the world started noticing purple streetlights, which is the color of UV light. The quantum dot tattoo research funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation provided a way of detecting whether or not a person was vaccinated by including fluorescent medical information in the vaccines. Invisible near-infrared tattoos that would imprint beneath the skin to later be read by customized smartphones. In the scientific literature on quantum dot research, these fluorescent medical information tattoos have a similar appearance to the faces of those infected by the vax under UV light. You may or may not believe in biblical prophecy, but it seems clear that the ones running this diabolical program are using it as their playbook. From Revelation 13, "And the second beast required all people small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark."
Just gets worse as you go. just what were in those shots. I remember when that was going down, and of course we did the disclaimer for people that the workplace was trying to force, say you're going to get fired if you, and we were doing the religious exemptions all day long. But, you know, some people said, hey, I was able to fake a COVID card, fake whatever. Now they'll know. Yeah. They'll know who got it, who didn't. And this is the tip of the iceberg. Now, by the way, the shot was not the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast does not happen until the seven-year tribulation.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And most of us would agree it's not till the halfway point. But what are you seeing? You're seeing the lead-up to a marking system, right, that includes the forehead. And then, and you could check all these out, every single one of them, including that HR 6666 Act. Luciferase, Eye of Horus, HR 6666. It's almost like somebody's following a script, man. And again, this isn't the mark of the beast yet, but what are we doing? We're seeing the lead up with what is going to happen. And only the Bible tells us exactly what it's going to end up being. And it will be the mark of the beast, right? And the people that take it at that time, you are doomed. The Bible is very clear. And this is why we've been the last 20 times dealing with this guy. Because this is where a lot of this global mass murder, evil, sick, satanic behavior is coming from. And he's basically building what, again, the Bible has warned about. And it's the only book on the planet that warns about. It's called the Antichrist Kingdom. Okay, that's really what he's doing. And it should be no surprise, because if you do the research, his dad was buddies with the Nazis. This is Klaus's background, folks. His dad was buddies with the Nazis. He grew up in World War II as a kid. His dad had a factory. His factory, we'll see tonight, used slave labor from concentration camps. Okay, but also Hitler's world, did he develop any type of marking system on people too? Where is Klaus getting all these ideas from? And this is what we're seeing. It's nothing new. Check his background out. It'll tell you exactly where he's headed. He's basically taking what Hitler wanted to do, but only made it as far as Germany, and now he's bringing it to the whole world. And he admits the pandemic was the trigger, the Reichstag fire globally, to get the thing into place. Okay? This is no joke. So we've been taking a look at that, been taking a look at the current Holocaust is still going on. They consider us useless people. Who cares if we mark you against your will, genetically modify you, kill you, whoop-de-doo. You're nothing to us. That's their attitude, just like with Hitler. They're controlling the global food supply. They're also using the food to murder people. They're using genetics into the food supply in case you didn't get the jab. They're genetically altering with different types of technology, not just the mRNA that was in the shots. Genetically altering apocalypse. They admit it's not going to go well, but they're doing it anyways, the new gods of the planet. They're genetically modifying humans, including babies. They're mixing us with animals, a chimera. They're copying us, humans, for some nefarious sicko reasons. They're making cyborg humans. This is where Musk comes in with his brain chips, and so they can have access to our very thoughts. They're also genetically modifying super soldiers. Every major developed military around the world is doing this and has been doing this for a long time. Have fun beating up a literal Captain America who works for Schwab. You ain't going to get far. They're called transhumanists. They believe it's their duties, the elites, to do this, to transcend man's limitations with science and technology. They got plans for us, whether you want or not. They also have many different methods to achieve that. And why are they doing this? Because they're all involved in the occult. We had two studies on that, folks, exposing, including our own government, people who are involved in the occult. This is why they can look you in the face and lie to you and laugh and murder billions of people in the process, or genetically, they don't care. They're working for Satan, folks. They hate God. And this is why they're doing the evil deeds. It's not normal. It's supernatural. It's evil. And then the last three times we've seen Klaus Schwab and the deliberate destruction. Why? Because no normal person's going to go along with their sicko, satanic, occult agenda. So what are you going to do? How are you going to do it? Well, you're going to do what you always do. You create a crisis. You manage the outcome. Never let a good crisis go to waste. Order out of chaos. You deliberately destroy the current existing system so that you could ride in as the savior. Ha-ha! And you just happen to have this new plan. Well, that plan's been there for a long time. But this is what they're doing, okay? And again, for those of you who think that Klaus Schwab is not a part of this global takeover, and they want to implement a cashless Mark of the Beast type, Big Brother type society, let me give you some more evidence of that. Remember last time he admitted clearly on tape he believes China is a great country, a quote, model country for the world? China, who's bringing in the social credit score, big brother system, you get a number attached to you and all, and he thinks that's a, excuse me? Well, I want to do some translation tonight. We're going to see a couple new terms, and I want to translate it for you, so when you hear it or see it in print, you're going to know what he really means. But Klaus is very big on the word trust. Trust. You must trust us. In that exciting German accent that I can't do. But trustworthy. We need a trustworthy agents. Trust them. Trust what they're doing. All this stuff. So notice, and I'm going to translate it for you. So when he says trust, 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 trustworthy, trustworthy citizen, trust, 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 then I'm going to translate it for what it really means. Okay? Let's take a look at this.
We need a paradigm shift. We must rebuild trust, and that's actually the theme of our meeting. We have to rebuild trust. Trust in our future, trust in our capacity to overcome challenges, and most importantly, trust in each other. Trust is not just a feeling. Trust is a commitment to action, to belief, to hope. To achieve this, we must rediscover and embrace the narrative that has driven humanity since its inception, acting as trustees for a better future. We need a paradigm shift.
Picture your life in a place where everything you do, what you buy, how you behave, is tracked. The government gives you a score, and the score is a measure of how trustworthy you are as a citizen.
We must rebuild trust, and that's actually the theme of our meeting. We have to rebuild trust.
Is a mechanism like pushes you to become a better citizen, to build on the trust?
Trust in our capacity to overcome challenges.
You're not going to be punished if you haven't done anything wrong.
And most importantly, trust in each other.
I think that's the point. I think the system is working as a warning or a alert to push people to do it, yeah. to be a good person.
Trust is not just a feeling. Trust is a commitment to action, to belief, to hope.
The Communist Party called for a system to allow the trustworthy to roam everywhere under heaven.
To achieve this, we must rediscover and embrace the narrative.
Words like honesty and credibility appear on propaganda posters. Display cases show pictures of Rongcheng's most honored citizens.
Acting as trustees for a better future.
Blacklisted people were blocked from booking 23 million flights and 5 million high-speed train trips. And the list goes on. Being discredited makes it hard to get a job, a loan, a hotel room, or put kids in certain schools.
Or buy or sell or whatever, but sounds kind of creepy, but trust. We need trust if we're going to pull this off. So basically what he's saying is, trust us. We're going to build a cashless Mark of the Beast system combined with a Big Brother system. And if you're a trustworthy person, i.e. you obey whatever they say, you can do what you want. But if you disobey, you are untrustworthy, and you'll be shut out of the system. That's what he's talking about. He is big on this word. I just want to translate that for you, because you saw him in just that minute clip, trust, trust, trustees, trustees, trustees. That's what he's talking about, right? And they're masters of word salads, right? Get us thinking and say, oh, that sounds great. No, it's not, okay? And he even admits that when the cat comes out of the bag, because people are eventually going to start catching on what he really means and what they're really building. But typically at that point, it's too late. But he even admits that, too bad. We're going to have to get ready for this. Watch this.
I don't know how it will play out in November, but what we know is that we will end up with many more unemployed, and particularly also people in the gray economy, which are not counted for, who lose their jobs. So we will see definitively a lot of anger already now, but probably increase by the end of the year, because this crisis will be with us until we really have found a remedy. So we have to prepare for a more angry world. And how to prepare? It means to take the necessary action to create a fairer world. The remedies have to be discussed through dialogue by the stakeholders of our global system, but I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
Who made you president? Who made you in charge? Who do you think you are? He admits it. Yeah. Once you find out what we're doing, we're going to have to prepare for you guys getting mad. Oh, well. The stakeholders, and that's all the people that's working for them, right, including the business owners like the Bezos, the Amazons, all the big corporations who've sold their soul to Klaus Schwab. They're just moving forward. And they're developing plans what to do with those angry people. These guys are mega millennials, right? And again, what they're bringing is not just controlling what you buy and sell, but it's combined with the Big Brother system, and you will be punished, just like the China model, into if you don't do what they say, you're going to be demoted. And eventually, you can't do anything. And again, what's that rhyme with? It's Revelation 13, buy and sell. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but I've said for years, when you take a look at their plan, God gave us all that we need to know sufficiently to, hey, don't go there, get saved today. Right? But when it comes to the mark, he just said it's controlling, buying, and selling. But maybe that's a loaded term. Maybe, yeah, it's controlling, buying, and selling, but it's literally everything. And that's what they're doing. And Hollywood, who also works for Schwab, notice the interviews on CNBC, right? But Hollywood has been putting out movies to prepare us that, okay, you're going to get angry. But it's coming anyway. This is an episode from Black Mirror. I have never watched the thing myself, but I've seen snippets and people have sent it to me. And I'm not saying I recommend it because I think it's like R-rated or something. But here's a snippet from the Black Mirror from Hollywood. And this is a teaser in reality of what Klaus is bringing to the planet. And you're probably going to get upset. But watch this.
Hi there. How are you doing?
I am wonderful.
I am so sorry. That flight is canceled.
No.
Customer incident at the other end.
What? So when is the next flight?
Yeah, they're all kind of full.
I booked this weeks ago. It's my best friend's wedding.
I'm sorry.
I have to get there. I have to.
Okay, let's see what we can do.
Oh, thank you.
I see there's one standby seat on another plane leaving tonight. That's reserved for members of our Prime Flight program. You got to be a 4.2 or over to qualify.
Oh, I'm a 4.2.
Mm-mm. I'm afraid you're actually a 4.183.
Oh. Well, that's not my fault. Some woman dinged me down in the couch. Can't you just...
I'm sorry, it won't let me book it without the correct ranking.
But it's so close.
There's just nothing I can do.
Christ, I mean, surely.
I'm going to have to ask you to moderate your language then.
Sorry, it's just... I'm maid of honor. I cannot miss this wedding.
And I am so sorry about that.
Can you call the supervisor?
I cannot do that.
Can you just call the supervisor?
I cannot do that.
Call the supervisor.
Okay, that's profanity. We're zero tolerance on profanity.
I'm sorry, it's just...
Yeah, I have to serve the next customer.
No.
Step
no,
away,
no.
Ma'am.
Can you help me?
I've called security.
No, please don't do that. I'm a 5-star in you. 5 stars?
What's the issue here, Hannah?
Intimidation and profanity.
Oh, no, I was not intimidating.
Don't speak, ma'am.
I was just trying to...
Ma'am? Okay, so, in order to restore calm, I'm invoking my authority as airport security to dock you one full ranking point as a punitive measure. This is a temporary measure.
No!
The score reverts to normal in 24 hours.
No, but I need it now!
Period, all downvotes are subject to a times 2 multiplier.
Times 2?
We recommend you avoid negative feedback at this time.
I'm on double damage.
Please, remove yourself from the airport immediately.
That's the tip of the iceberg of what Klaus wants to bring to the whole planet, including the United States of America. This is no joke. This whole numbering system. Notice the other people When they didn't like her behavior, what were they doing? They were down, turning her in, affecting her score. Good thing we didn't have people turning other people in when they weren't wearing a mask and they weren't. You don't think people would do the same thing when it gets digitized this time? You know what would happen. We're seeing our future. And again, all this is happening, and Klaus knows, yeah, you're going to get angry. Too bad. We're doing it anyway. And they're doing it with the help of this guy, Joe Biden. And he's shaking hands with, no, that's too good to be seen once. Yeah, you get the drift. He's shaking hands there, but he's been brought in on purpose for a time as this, to destroy deliberately the American economy. Why? Because we're the backbone of the global economy, the dollar. So if you're going to reset it, not just control people economically, but with this big brother system that will control, listen, not just your finances, but your behavior. You know, people say, well, you ain't going to tell me what to do. Oh, this is their system. And you will be shut out. You will literally starve to death. They don't care if you don't do what they want you to do. This is what they're doing. And again, this is why Biden, 2 years ago, folks, signed the executive order to go to a cashless society, right? He's not just making dumb decisions. He's making deliberate decisions. That's the illusion. Now, he himself, I don't believe, is making the decision, right? It's the people behind him. Okay, he's just the figurehead. But his administration is making deliberate decisions to destroy our economy so they can come in and reset it with this new global great reset. And now we've seen he's doing it on purpose from day one, getting in office in three different ways. The first one is oil and energy. What was the first thing he did first day? Shut down the pipeline and from downhill for there. Why? Because you keep that up and you attack the oil and energy, it's going to destroy your finances and economy. That's exactly what happened. They know what they're doing. It's deliberate, folks, step by step. And then last time we saw, well, you keep that up, then what's it going to do? It's going to start to affect your food and commerce, the things that you buy and sell. And that's why we saw, since Biden got in office, food prices have gone through the absolute roof. We're seeing that Americans are skipping meals. Okay, as it continues to get worse, food banks are getting overloaded as more people go into poverty. This is the United States of America, and this is going on around the world. It's a planned dismantling of the food supply. Global hunger is taking place. And then on top of that, to make sure that we get corralled in the right direction, they are destroying tons and tons of food processing plants, not just in America, but we saw the map last time, all across the world. And then on top of that, they're closing stores down, making it harder to even get food, whatever food's left out there, creating what was called food deserts. That was weird. That was a new term. And then the farmers, because the gas prices are so high, they're saying it's going to be harder to produce because we can't afford the fuel. And then you got people like Bill Gates buying up the farmland in America, and they're not using it for farming. And then you got people closing down farms. Huge, massive amounts, 3,000 farms just in the Netherlands, where you saw that beautiful cow earlier, is well there. And why are they doing it? Because we saw the whole thing is to create what is called a World Economic Forum food hubs. Remember that? And we're thinking, well, what? Why would you want to? And they're stationed around the world. We saw the interview. And this was from the prime minister from Netherlands that's shutting down the farms, who's working for Klaus, that they're going to set out World Economic Food hubs to distribute food to people. What's that? Revelation 6. Revelation 6, there's a famine so bad that there's a global food distribution. You have to work for them to get a quart of wheat or three quarts of barley. This is the system they're building, right, in place. And you will what? You will own nothing and you will be happy. You're going to be destitute. They want you totally dependent upon them. And it's not just for food. It's anything that you buy. So food, commerce, everything, you're going to have to go to them. And that's what we saw with the pandemic, 200,000 business closures. And because the factories are closing, businesses are closing, you got layoffs, people don't have the money to buy this stuff anymore. And then, in case you do, the retailers, not just the manufacturers, are closing at record year, 4,600 in 1 year alone, right? And so again, here's the point, they want you completely dependent. When they said you will own nothing, guess what that means? You will own nothing. You want a piece of clothing? It will have to come from them. You want some food? It will have to come to them. As you'll see tonight, you want a place to live? It will come from them. They're taking over. When he says nothing, they literally mean nothing. This is what they're building, and this is what China Joe was brought in to do. Okay? And the Bible is the only book on the planet that tells us what it is. These guys are laying the foundation for the Antichrist kingdom so that when he appears on the scene after the rapture, here it is, buddy. Here's the keys to the kingdom. Just turn it over. It's ready to go for you. This is why we need to study this. This is how close we are. But you might be thinking, well, wait a second. I'm going to hide out from all this deliberate destruction, and I'm going to my house, right? A man's home is his domain, his castle, right? You can't tell. Now they thought this thing through and through. And that's why we're going to see, again, deliberately, what has happened since Biden got in? Not just oil and energy, not just finances and economy, not just food and commerce. What also has gone through the absolute crazy roof? Real estate, mortgage interest rates, property, all that stuff, tent cities, homelessness. It's all gone through the roof. Why? Because they're doing it on purpose, because then they're going to shove you into where they want you to live. Okay? And again, it makes me wonder if, in fact, that's not why Jesus said this about the people in the seven-year tribulation. He gives them some specific orders. Not you and I. These are the people in the seven-year tribulation, right? But if, in fact, we're seeing these people build the Antichrist kingdom that will be in effect in the seven-year tribulation, wonder wonders, Jesus tells these people at that time, here's what you should do, but he also tells them, here's what you should not do in a time of crisis. And this is at the midway point. This is what's called the abomination of desolation. You've already got the first six seals that have taken place. That's your basically the false Christ appear, as he talks about here, even a parallel passage, Revelation 6, Matthew 24, they're parallel passages. And then you got the wars, rumors of wars. Then you got famines and pestilence. Okay. And then it gets to the midway point, and that's where we're at now. And this is where the Antichrist shows his true colors. Goes up to the rebuilt Jewish temple, declares himself to be God, basically what's called the abomination of desolation. And after that, we saw in Zechariah, he says that 2/3 of the Jewish people will be hunted down and slaughtered by the Antichrist guy. Because if it's the wake-up moment, like, oh no, this guy, we got fooled, we got duped. Now the good news is 1/3 have their eyes open, and they realize that Jesus was the Messiah, but 2/3 are going to pay a price. But this is that time frame, the midway point, and watch what Jesus says for these people. It says, so when you see standing, the midway point, in the holy place, the abomination that caused desolation spoken through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea, what? What's your only option from Jesus? These people in the seven-year tribulation right there. Flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his what? House go down to take anything out of the what? House. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak, meaning back to his house where the cloak is. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, the Jewish elect, those days will be shortened. Again, this is the midway point. The Antichrist goes up into the rebuilt Jewish temple, declares himself to be God, and then it all breaks loose. His true colors completely show. They realize, oh man, I can't believe it. We just made a deal with the Antichrist. 2/3 of them get slaughtered, and Jesus again says, here's your only option. If you find yourself in this predicament, right? Again, you could have got saved today and avoided the whole thing, Jew or Gentile. Okay, if you want to help Jewish people, you need to lead them to Christ right now. That's the best thing you could ever do for them, right? And anybody else on the planet. But he says, what's your option? When this goes down, if this is you, you're unfortunately in the seven-year tribulation, you better run. You better run to the hills, chop, chop, don't delay. Just hurry and get out of town. But then he not only tells them what to do, he tells them what not to do. Okay, I'm telling you, you just need to flee. What did he say not to do? Don't go back specifically to your what? House. He says it more than once there. And you go, well, why? Why can't you go hide in your house? That's typically, that would be a knee-jerk reaction. I'll go hide back in the house. I'll go get my guns. I'll go store all my food. That's what I'm going to eat, those 85-pound bags of rice that I've been buying for 500 years. No, Jesus said, for these people at that time, no, don't do that. I'm telling you, just run. Why? Because I am convinced that the people's homes that they live in, certainly even at that time, it won't be safe. It will be a big brother paradise. That would be the last place you would ever want to go. And those homes are part of Klaus's plan to force you and I to go into. So let's take a look at Biden being brought in now to also destroy real estate and property to force us to go into World Economic Forum housing. Okay. And again, this is part of their plan. And when, again, they said you own nothing, it means nothing, not a stitch of clothing, no appliances, no food without their permission. They will control your food supply. And their plan is you will not own a home. And even the place that you go to won't be yours. This is part of their plan, folks. This is what they mean. So Biden's got to do what? He's got to destroy the system so they can reset it, including getting us used to be corralled into a new place to live, thanks to Klaus Schwab in the game. This is why, as soon as he got in office, what do we see? Home prices have gone through the absolute roof, right? And then what happened? Immediately, still to this day, mortgage rates have skyrocketed, gone crazy. In fact, here's the actual chart. You can see it. Stayed pretty much stable, and then Biden gets in. What happens? Pew! Through the roof, folks, right? So now people don't want to buy a house, even if they flirt with buying a house, and it's just really starting to kill the market. And that's why they said a housing recession is here, and it's not going to be fun. And then for those that could afford to buy a home, so a lot of people are being shut out of the system. They're just, hey, they're never going to be able to get a home. But for those that get a home, a lot of people can't now. And so now it's producing what? Tent cities all over the world. Homelessness is spiraling out of control. And you notice that just as much money as they dump into it, it's like, where's it going? Because it ain't fixing the problem. Have you noticed the homeless problem seems to just keep escalating? That's because they want it to. They don't want it to go away because they're going to ride in the saviors with the solution. Okay. And then for those of us that tough it out, right, it's just getting really hard. And it's going global. It's not just us. The squeeze to even forget owning a home. I'm just going to try to rent. Well, now I can't even afford to do rent. Right? This is being done on purpose because they want you to say, government, fix it. This is too much. I'm giving up on even trying to own a home. But man, I can't even rent a home. Could you provide some sort of housing for us? It's exactly what they want you to cry out there. Now, those of us that can tough it out or have been trying to tough it out, they're starting to put the squeeze on us. They're going to try to force us out of our home, right? And there's a couple different methodologies. This is why I've been seeing this weird behavior. California bans natural gas heaters by 2030. What's the date? Why in the world would they pick that exact date? Because that's Klaus's plan, to have the Great Reset by the 2030. Anybody that does this stuff and does 2030, they tell you they're working for Klaus. And that would include Gavin Newsom, who's a graduate from Klaus's Young Global Leaders, by the way. Do the research. So, but why are they banning natural gas heaters? Well, there's something about gas. See, gas, I can buy a tank and I can store it. Gas, I could load up a big supply. Well, if you want to force people out of their homes into their new home, then you can't have that. This is why they want everything to go to electric. Electric, they can flip a switch and you're done. They're putting the squeeze on us, folks, right? That's why they want to get rid of that. And not just that, they come for your flush toilets, incandescent light bulbs. Now they're wanting to ban your kitchen stove. You're going to like, that's so stupid. Why would you want to get rid of gas stoves? Because again, not only if you have gas, you can store supply, you can hang out for a while, and they don't want that. And so you can not only have heat, but you got to cook your food. Well, you can't have that, so let's get rid of the gas stoves. Make sure you go to electric. Save the planet. No, they're doing this on purpose, right? Because now you don't have a backup plan, right? They're going to squeeze you in your home. And they want all natural gas to go. And again, we'll see this, Lord willing, in the next study, transportation. Why are they getting rid of, and this is nothing California's doing, but it's around the world and even other states in America. They're wanting to ban combustible engines, gas-powered vehicles. Why? Because I can go a long way on a full tank of gas. You know where I can't go very far? With electric. And not just that, electric, they can shut you off from the sky. So even though you're still limited, you ain't going out of your driveway. You ain't going nowhere. This is what they're up to, folks. Has nothing to do with saving the planet. It's all about limiting you. And this is back to the home. They want to get rid of all of it. And you don't think that they will control you once it goes electric? Yes, they will. It's already started. Denver Area Power Company takes over thermostats. They're just shutting them off because it's electric. See, when things are electric, we used to talk about this when I was in tech school in the late 80s. Man, if everything goes electric, that's Big Brother Paradise, man. You can control it. Anything electric can be controlled from an outside signal. I wasn't even saved. We used to talk about this stuff. It was crazy, folks. And they're already doing it. And not just that, it's going global. Top global agency calls for lockdowns to curb oil use, right? We just got to get rid of this stuff. And then Germany, they're doing all kinds of stuff, turning off lights and hot water because of the energy crisis. So they're already doing it arbitrarily. It's your house. You pay the bill. But who cares? They're putting the squeeze on you. Because at some point you're saying, this ain't going to work, man. We're not just losing our home. I'll never be able to buy a home. I can't even rent. Tent cities are exploding all over the place. But here I am in my home. I'm toughing it out. But you're putting the squeeze on me. I can't cook my food. I can't turn on the lights. What? Help. Do you see the setup? It's exactly what's going on. Okay. Now, while all that's going on, they're destroying the real estate and property and putting the squeeze on us, those of us trying to tough it out, right? Guess who is buying up all the real estate? This is Blackstone, but Blackstone, if you do the research, guess who they work for? BlackRock. They're a subsidiary of BlackRock, who works for Schwab. So they're just like the farmlands being bought up, and they're not using it to farm. Real estate's being bought up. So you can't buy, even if you had the money, on those rare occasions. And somehow you can find some sort of fuel source. This is what they're doing. Oh, and not just BlackRock, who works for Schwab. China. China gets to buy a bunch of our stuff. Again, as we saw last time. In fact, 15 key states where Chinese citizens are buying up $6 billion worth of property. So here it is. People can't afford it. Mortgage rates are going through the roof. People can't even afford to forget a house now. I'm just trying to make rent. And now I can't even do rent. Now I'm living in a tent. And these guys get to buy up property? In fact, look at the map of where they're buying it up. If you notice, the bulk of the higher percentages is on the coasts. And if you guys remember some of our previous prophecy studies, that's part of the plan called the Biodiversity Treaty, where people get to live and the rest of it is hands off. I'll show you that map in just a little bit. And then, again, they're not just buying up property, but businesses, General Electric, Smithfields, IBM. And did you know they have a major chunk of stock of Tesla? China? Interesting. Interesting. Right? But basically what's happening is China Joe is doing his job. China's taking over a country, and we're getting prepared for basically the China model. And the goal is, but in order to do that, we're going to get people, we're going to get the infrastructure set up first, then we're going to crash everything, and then we'll reset it, ready to go. And people will cry out with the manufacturer cry, government, help us. And we'll just walk right into our new way of living. You'll own nothing to be happy, including your new home. Now, that sounds kind of creepy, but don't worry. They've made it sound really good. Because when we get crowded into their new homes, we're going to be saving the planet. Did you know that? Somehow, we're going to be able to stop climate change. Which rhymes with Mission Impossible because every day the climate changes. But don't think of that. That's logic. And we can't have them thinking logical. Right? No, but the new term, you may have heard of it, and this is now we're going to get into this. This is the rest of our study. It's not a prison. You didn't just give up your freedom, the last vestige of freedom, your property, your home, your own domain. You don't need that anymore. You know what you need? You need a 15-minute city. But don't worry. We've pitched it so it sounds really good. Watch this.
Before the recent lockdowns around the world, we led hectic lives with long commutes and not enough time to spend with our families and friends. Traffic polluted our air and smog blanketed our skylines.
What if it could be different? What if we could create a new normal where we reclaim our time, our health and well-being, and our communities?
This is the idea behind the 15-Minute City, a growing movement to make our lives in cities more convenient, less stressful, and more sustainable. A 15-Minute City is one where everything we need is close to home, where communities are safe and inclusive, where the air is clean.
A 15-Minute City is one where it's easy to get goods and services, fresh groceries, healthcare, and other amenities are all just a short trip away. A 15-minute city is one where everyone has a place.
A 15-minute city has affordable, accessible, and adaptable housing for households of all sizes and ages.
A 15-minute city means that you can work close to home or work remotely more often.
And we all play a role in our neighborhood.
What if we don't go back to life as it was? What if we already have the power to change how we live? Together, we can reimagine and create the future we want. One that is cleaner, safer, healthier, and more inclusive. And gives us back valuable time to enjoy the little things.
The little things. I can't speak Spanish either, a little German. Now, did you notice it's called C40? C40 was originally the term, if you do the research, C40, why is it C40? You got 15 minutes, it's C40. C40, basically, they call them C40 cities. The idea was to have 40 cities. That's where they get it from. But basically, this is right after I finish my notes, and then I discovered this, so I wanted to share this. C40 cities, which they plan to have this vision by, again, 2030, and it's already here in America. What's already called a C40 city. Austin, Boston, Chicago, Houston, L.A., Miami, New Orleans, New York City, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Portland, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and Seattle are, quote, all on board. And I quote what comes with it. Remember, you own nothing and be happy somehow. The plan includes eliminating meat and dairy consumption, eliminating private vehicle ownership, air travel, and, quote, clothing purchases. Doesn't that sound great? Now, if you paid attention there at the very beginning of that, it started out with what? Since the pandemic. And they said what? Wouldn't it be great? I mean, we all made it through that. And what do we all cry out for? I want to get back to. But hey, think this thought. How about we don't go back to that old normal, you know, like freedom? How about we go to the new normal? Do you see how they pitched this? But notice what was the trigger? What was the beginning of this? The pandemic, right? And they want this in place by 2030, okay? And again, they make it sound like it's going to be great. I don't know about you, but it sounds like a prison to me. I give up my freedom to go into a housing that I'm limited to a 15-minute radius? That sounds like a prison and a prison yard. But don't think that. You're not supposed to think that. That's too obvious, right? Now, just give you some more buzzwords. When they say this phrase, not just C40 cities, basically what they're bringing is they want you to go give up your freedom, go to a prison, and they will dictate everything about your life. That's really what it means. So translate that. When they say we need to hurry up and get to net zero, you need to translate this. We need to hurry up and get to communism. Because that's what it means. When they say, again, 15-minute cities, it's prison camps. Now you're going like, okay, now Klaus, man, these guys keep coming up with these wacky ideas. Where in the world is he getting this idea to corral people into a limited space with limited mobility? You'll own nothing but somehow still be happy for control purposes. Bingo. He got it from Hitler, folks, but Hitler didn't call them 15-minute cities. He called them concentration camps. And that's all these are. Techno prisons, techno communism, techno concentration camps. In fact, let's revisit how Hitler schnookered people into going along with it. Watch this.
When the Allied forces entered the camps at Auschwitz on January the 27th, 1945, what they found was a tragic scene of mass extermination, the likes of which our world had never witnessed before. After Germany sparked World War II and invaded Poland, the Schutzstaffel, more commonly known as the SS, would convert Auschwitz I into a prisoner of war camp. Later on, construction of Auschwitz II, Birkenau, started, which would become the site of countless atrocities. Of the 1.3 million people sent to Auschwitz, 1.1 million people were killed, and their remains desecrated. That, in itself, is a shocking figure. But the world would soon be shocked even more as survivors reported the ghastly truth of what had actually happened. Those that did survive the initial gas chambers would be forced into a life of slavery, where many would die from overexhaustion, diseases, a lack of nutrition, and many more would succumb to the daily struggle that was life in Auschwitz. For the men, the day would begin at 4:30 a.m., with the women rising up even earlier, when the block supervisor would ring a gong, signaling the start of daily labor and slavery. The block supervisor would go around beating the inmates with a stick in order to make them use the latrine quickly. The sanitary arrangements were, of course, absolutely horrible and led to many infections and diseases. For their breakfast, prisoners would only receive 500 milligrams of coffee substitute in order to keep them working. After this, a second gong would be rung in order to call all of the inmates outside and make them stand in neat rows of tens so they could be counted. These inmates would be forced to stand outside for hours on end until the SS officers came for the count. After recounting and making sure every prisoner was present, work would commence. No rest periods were allowed, and even the latrine breaks would be recorded so that the officers could completely control every free second of the inmates' lives. Lunch would be served at midday and consisted of a watery soup that was reported to be disgusting and unhygienic. The evening meal would be a measly 300 grams of bread, which was mostly moldy and unfit for eating. After the day's work would end, a second roll call would take place where floggings and hangings were common. Many would be punished for any infractions that they might have caused. If any prisoner was missing, the rest would be forced to stand in roll call until, and unless, the missing prisoner in question was found. At night time, the prisoners, exhausted from the hellish labor and the ruthlessness of their Nazi officers, would go to rest. For sleep, thousands of prisoners would be forced into a single wooden or brick barrack, and as soon as the nighttime curfew gong was sounded, Auschwitz would go completely silent. Before the start of World War II, Germany already had multiple concentration camps, which acted as detention centers for Jews, political prisoners, and other enemies of the Nazi state. But these were just the foreshadowing of what was to come, and not the full picture.
Did you catch that? The real reality of the concentration camps didn't come until later. This is what Klaus is doing. The real reality of these so-called 15-minute cities will come later, once you get in and you can't get out. Again, I'm telling you folks, everything Hitler did, Klaus is doing, except on a global scale. You don't even have to guess anymore. Even the concentration camps. But of course, you don't call them concentration camps because people would freak out. But really, that's what it is. You're going to own nothing. And I mean nothing. But you're going to be happy. I mean, those people are smiling. This is all he's done. He's repackaged his whole system and put it on steroids with technology. But this is what he's bringing. His dad used slave labor in his factory. Klaus grew up in that environment. The slaves owned nothing. And you worked for the Nazis to get bare subsistence. This is what he's doing, folks. This is what he's bringing in. Now, let me give you another spin of how they pitch it, though. But again, see, that's freaky. You're going to like, nobody's going to go along with that. Well, again, they pitch it as something wonderful. You'll find out the truth later. We just got to get you in there. But we're going to save the planet. No, they're going to control the planet. It's Hitler on steroids. But here's how they pitch it. This is an article. Welcome to 2030. Watch this. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. Is that what people say when they get to prison? No, but this is how they spin it. Now, this is from this lady, Ida Alken. She is a member, as you can see, World Economic Forum. She's right there in the thick of it. And she is a member of the Danish Parliament Social Democrat Party. Shocker. And here's how she describes this new Big Brother concentration camp, prison on steroids. But 15 minutes later. Welcome to the year 2030. Welcome to my city, or should I say our city? I don't own anything. I don't own a car. I don't own a house. I don't own any appliances or any clothes. It might seem odd to you, but it makes perfect sense for us in the city. Everything you considered a product has now become a service. We have access to transportation, accommodation, food, and all the things we need in our daily lives. One by one, these things became free, so it ended up making sense for us not to own much. First, communication became digitized and free. Then clean energy became free and things started moving quickly. Transportation dropped dramatically in price. And it made no sense for us to own cars anymore. Watch this. Because we could call for a driverless vehicle or a flying car. Now, those flying cars are electric, which, again, can be controlled. And geofence, by the way. But notice her picture, and I want this to stick in your brain because it'll make sense towards the end of the study. A flying car is a part of these 15-minute city scenarios. This is why we need to give up freedom, including your own home. Quote, we started transporting ourselves in a much more organized and coordinated way. when public transport became easier, quicker, more convenient than the car. Quote, and we could hardly believe that we accepted congestion and traffic jams, not to mention the air pollution from combustion engines. What were we thinking? Remember, you go electric, it's all control. Sometimes I use my bike when I go see some of my friends, et cetera, and in our city, we don't pay rent because someone else is using our free space whenever we don't need it. My living room is used for business meetings when I'm not there. So even the place you get stuck isn't even really yours. Why? Because what did he say? You will own nothing. You know, like a prisoner. You don't own nothing. You work. You do what I say. I'll give you bare subsistence. This is what he's bringing. Right? And she goes on to say that, you know, you don't even need appliances and whatever because that'll be brought to you, but it'll also be taken away immediately. And then she says this, environmental problems seem so far away. Since we now use clean energy and clean production methods, the air is clean, the water is clean. Nobody, watch this, nobody would dare touch the protected areas of nature. So you're not going to have access to it? You're not going to get, you're stuck in, you're really stuck in this thing? And it's somehow really good? That's exactly what she says. Shopping? I can't really remember what that is. Because it will all be brought to you. You won't own it, you rent it. Amazon is a part of the plan. That's also why they're pushing, have been pushing for a long time, the drone technology to deliver. Because they will deliver to your little home that you don't own. That's crazy. This is part of the plan. Right? And she goes on this. Watch this. My biggest concern is all the people who do not live in our city. Those who we lost on the way. Those who decided that it became too much, all this technology. And those who felt obsolete and useless when robots and AI took over big parts of our jobs. Watch this. Those who got upset, you know, an angry world with the political system and turned against it. Watch this. Once in a while, I get annoyed about the fact that I have no real privacy, nowhere I can go and not be registered. I know that somewhere everything I do, think, and dream is recorded. I just hope that nobody will use it against me. This is her from the World Economic Forum in the UK government pitching this concentration camp. This is no joke, right? And so she said, all in all, it's a good life, much better than the path we were on, where it became so clear that we could not continue with the same model of growth. And on it goes. I'm just giving you the highlights there. But see, isn't this great? Don't you want to give up your complete financial freedom? Don't you want to give up your complete anonymity? Don't you want to give up the rights to private property, your own home, your own domain? Don't you want to have everything you do be completely controlled? No, stop. We're going to save the planet if we do this. Do you see how stupid this is? It's not just stupid. This is the plan. This is the plan, right? You can call it what you want, but folks, it is nothing but this. When you see 15-minute city, you need to picture that. It's a giant concentration camp. That's all it is, with technology and Big Brother on steroids. Hitler would go crazy if he had that kind of technology. And then, don't worry, somehow you're going to be happy with it. I mean, these kids are. Chill out. Save the planet. Now, when you hear the younger generations, they're falling for this hook, line, sinker because they've been brainwashed by the secular school system and Hollywood and the secular media. Then when they say, hey, let's save the planet, when you hear somebody say, save the planet, no, it's help us build concentration camps. I'm doing some translation for you because that's really what's going on. They've been duped. Now, just to make sure that we go along with this and give up our homes for our new Nazi prison life, again, they've been brainwashing the next generation and, dare I say, some adults. I'm actually surprised that I hear some Christians get into this. And they're willingly giving up their homes, even their property, to save the planet. And you know how they're going to do that? Converting to a tiny home. That's propaganda, folks. Tiny homes, what? See, you'll reduce your carbon footprint. It's all propaganda to get you used to giving up your property, your domain, for a little tiny space. Right? And it's already being pitched as the cure for all this strange homelessness that just doesn't ever get fixed. Watch this.
Freaking tiny.
Go tiny or go home.
Even though they've done their homework, Emmy and Jake are finding tiny spaces daunting.
Oh, geez, Louise.
How are we going to do our bedroom activities in here?
I mean, can a 9x13 casserole dish fit in there?
Yes.
But there's a tiny answer to almost every tiny challenge.
We're going to have to change our lifestyle. We're going to have to make sacrifices.
What is that?
It's a teeny tiny ice tray.
You're holding it like a baby.
I know, because it's so cute.
Smart buyers everywhere are discovering that smaller homes mean bigger lifestyles. If you've got what it takes to live in 500 square feet or less, ingenuity rules and freedom follows. That's tiny living.
No, that's a tiny prison. But do you see the brainwashing? Give up your spacious property. Give up your normal-sized, decent home. You know, even with something that you could actually grow your own food and be self-sufficient. Give it up to help save the planet to this tiny prison, I mean tiny home. It's brainwashing, folks. That's exactly what's going on. Now, again, it's part of the China model because we've been seeing a pattern. We're looking at the future. We're going, this is crazy. This must be way off. No, it's already being done in China. Remember, China is the model that Klaus wants to bring to the world. China is already in this, and they're just going to bring it to the rest of the world. Let's take a look at China's current 15-minute cities and what it's like to live in them, because this is what's coming our way.
Does China have 15-minute cities? Yes, China has been implementing the concept of 15-minute cities. This urban planning model aims to create neighborhoods where residents can access most of their needs within a 15-minute walk or bike ride. Key features include mixed-use development, efficient public transport, and community-centered design. Cities like Shanghai and Beijing are pioneering this approach, focusing on sustainable urban living and improved quality of life for their citizens.
China has the largest video surveillance network in the world and plans to expand it to more than 600 million cameras over the next 2 years. With the rise in facial recognition and artificial intelligence, it feels more like someone is watching all those cameras at all times.
Hi, I'm Ellie. I'm in China, and I just got busted for jaywalking with facial recognition technology.
Stations like this one are part of a new plan by the Chinese government to publicly shame citizens caught breaking the law.
If you cross the street against the light, cameras with facial recognition technology will take a picture of your face, cross-reference it with your government ID, and then post it up there to embarrass you.
But China isn't embracing facial recognition just to catch jaywalkers. The technology is starting to appear just about anywhere you can imagine. It helps make menu recommendations at your local fast food spot. You can also pay for your food with your face.
Doesn't matter whether you smile or not, even though it's called Smile to Pay. Even if you are wearing a wig or have a heavy makeup, it will still recognize you.
It even curbs waste of toilet paper at public bathrooms. My gift. This is all I get for the next 9 minutes. And then I come back again, I try to get more. Chinese tech companies are now at the cutting edge of developing new and sophisticated ways to do video analysis.
Right now we're going into SenseTime, one of the biggest companies involved in developing that technology. Oh, that's me.
这个是我们的人脸识别的门禁，那它可以自动的识别人脸，然后方便员工进出。你站在门口，它很快就会把门打开。对于外来的人员来讲呢，他站在门口，门并不会打开。So
you know when someone's late?
所以我们也可以知道到底是每个人都是几点来、几点走的。这边是我们给智慧城市、平安城市打造的一整套的系统。 然后呢，这里头细节的我们可以看到很多标签，包括人的着装、上身和下身的着装，然后颜色、性别、年龄，然后对于车辆，我们可以识别到3000种的车型，这个包括到具体品牌。那这样一个产品，它叫视频结构化，它能够很好的把视频中的一些关键信息提取出来，比如说我今天要找中午11点钟经过这个路口的红色车辆，然后可以很快的把这样一些目标物给检索出来。 这个是我们给这是上海外滩的一个场景，我们是给上海外滩的这个摄像头去做了一个人群的布控。左上这张图是一个原始的图片，然后同样的，我们可以得到左下这张图是一个人群驻留时间的一个估计。那红色部分表示这些人群在这驻留时间非常长了。So
it can track suspicious activity within a large crowd.
它更多的是能够及时的发现一些异常状况，能够做更实时的响应，来减少损失。
Are you ever bothered by having no anonymity because there are cameras watching all the time?
从我自己的体验来讲，其实对这样的一些事情并不会很担忧。但是呢，像这样的一些算法或者说技术应用到实战的场景中去以后呢，如果说你真的要做坏事，以后就要小心了。But
the reach of this technology goes way beyond public areas and increasingly infiltrates private spaces as well. We're going into a government housing complex. Instead of doormen, they have security cameras with facial recognition technology. And we're going to go see how it works.
它是一个门禁和一个摄像头关联。对。这个咱们现在看到这个画面呢，是我们的一个，这里边也可以看到保障人员的。 每个日期带的保障人员的是出入情况，非保障人员的和陌生人的一个出入情况。This
is the number of visitors, and this is all of the residents, and this is our most popular person with
142。然后呢，我们每个月月底的时候会出一个月报，提供给房管局，就是监管部门，因为这是他连续跑了，现在这个项目跑了快一年了，然后可能他累积的比较多。
How much more is your system doing that you're not allowed to show us?
然后工作挺多的，然后我在这边的话，不太方便透露太多，希望理解。In
China, there are few protections limiting how much information the government can collect about its 1.4 billion citizens. Everyone over the age of 16 is required to have an official state-issued ID card that the government now wants to use to centralize all that information. And China is investing heavily in tech companies to help transform that government data into a virtually omniscient surveillance network. So how do you think your facial recognition technology will change China?
Everything happened in the public can be recorded. We can know exactly what happened in every second, in every corner of the city. This is a video stream in a subway station by our smart camera. So we can capture every face in real time, see like some criminal person is out there. There is the red box. So there is a warning to the police station that there is a criminal person. So I need to locate them.
So when it looks out onto a crowd, it's tracking all these faces and it's cross-checking those faces against what?
Criminal database.
And how many fugitives have been apprehended through this system?
Over 3,000 cases in nationwide. Wow. Yeah. Just one year.
In 1 year?
Yeah, 1 year.
Wow. So what you're working on now already seems like sci-fi. What do you think the future will look like in like 5 years?
Have you seen a film just like Black Mirror? You just stand there and your face there is a point. So maybe that is the future.
But that's like a horror show.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we thought that was just a program for entertainment. What do you say they're building? And what's the model that Klaus wants to bring? Don't worry. You give up your property, you'll own nothing, you're going to be happy. You're going to have a 15-minute radius, but you're going to be in that system. That's called prison. This is what they bring, folks. It's all purpose. It has nothing to do about your convenience, nothing to do about saving the planet. It's Klaus taking concentration camps that Hitler did, bringing it to the world for purposes of control for those who they're going to allow to work for them, called slave labor. This is really what's going on. And again, if it really was a pre-planned wicked agenda, then fortunately there's a few people out there starting to blow the whistle on it and calling it for what it is, like these two folks. Watch this.
The 15-minute cities is something that the WEF has created called C40, and it's called C40 Cities. I would urge you to certainly look on the internet about it and then go to all of the TikTokers and see what they're really, really saying. Basically, you won't be able to drive a petrol or diesel car anymore. You'll have to buy electric. If you want food, you will get a calorie-controlled system sent to you by text saying, this is what you can eat today. This is what you can have today. If you violate any of these things, they'll freeze your bank account. That is the next step. These are stages in which they're going to implement this stuff. And this was signed up by the WEF. And the WEF has signed up with our mayor in London as the chair. And he has gone around the world to communicate this C40 to all of the countries in the world. And most of the countries are looking at adopting it. We are going to be in an open prison, or shall we say a COVID, for all the rest of our lives. We will not be able to work unless it's in our 15-minute city. It's diabolical. It's not a right. This is not the right thing. And it's been hidden from the public. No one's talking about it.
I'm very curious what your opinion is on 15-minute cities. This is something that I guess it's a new idea that we're only beginning to hear about. Maybe you can actually remind us what they are. And I understand they're coming in Europe now. There's legislation pushing in that direction already.
Yes, it is. The digital green certificate, the COVID pass, that was a test balloon to get people to having to produce some kind of a QR code, you know, just getting people used to that. Now what they're slamming us with is these 15-minute cities. Make no mistake, it's not about your convenience. It's not that they want you to be able to, you know, all of these places that you need to get to very close. And it's not about saving the planet either, by the way. The 15-minute cities, they will have to have those before they can lock you down. And that's what we're talking about here. So in Great Britain, some county already passed legislation. They will be able to impose a climate lockdown. That's the next step. That's what we're talking about. So in order to do that, they will have to have these 15-minute cities. The next step then, of course, will be... you are only allowed to leave your immediate area for, let's say, 2 or 3 times a year. So, but there's other people that may have more money, and they can actually buy your passings off of you. So guess what? The poor people will be left in these 15-minute neighborhoods while the ones that are better off get to go wherever they want to go. So this is what we're talking about, you know. Look at Saudi Arabia, for instance. They're pulling up Neom City. They call it the Line. So this is like a structure in the middle of the desert, 200 kilometers long, 200 meters wide, 500 meters high, and it will house up to 9 million people. Oh, isn't that just brilliant? If I wanted to get total control of the people, that's exactly where and how I would house them. And then having them on a three meals a day prescription, well, guess what will happen if you do not do as you are told? They will probably cancel that. It's so easy. So that's what we're talking about. And when you really take all of this together, there is no other way for me to actually say this. It will be a complete impoverishment and enslavement of all the people.
Just like a concentration camp, just like Hitler did. Except it's on steroids and it's going global. But don't worry, we're saving the planet. Good thing we're never going to see this in America. Need I show you the picture again? He's laughing. He's brought here to bring it all into play. But you got to crash the system first, so they could write in as a savior. This is what's going on, folks. We've been duped big time. Did you see that one that's being built, that giant lion city? And it's where? Why would you build a giant 9 million people city in the middle of the desert? Can you imagine if you woke up one day and say, I want to escape? Have fun escaping in the middle of the desert. Did you know they have a plan to do the same thing here in our state? It's called Tolosa. Maybe I'll show that to you some other time. But they want to build one of those cities in the desert. And Nevada is one of the states that they're looking at because we're a desert state. This is crazy, folks. This is what's going on, okay, with that. But again, good thing it's never come to America. They can dream all they want, but we're Americans, right? We're not Americans. We're Americans, right? We eat what we want. We live what? Nope. Propaganda. That's why I said get your kids out of the sewer pipe. Remember I say it every Sunday. Your kids are being brainwashed to go along with not just the LGBTQ alphabet gang, but they're what? They're being brainwashed to go along with the New World Order, the Great Reset, Save the Planet, baloney. And they're falling for it. 15-minute cities are not coming. They're already here in America, and they're spreading, including conservative states. Watch this.
Mayor Bibb introduced the idea of being the first 15-minute city in the United States. He did this in his State of the City address last night.
The urban planning model is new, but city planners told our Sarah Shookman the time is now to tap into federal dollars to address some of Cleveland's deeper problems.
Imagine a Cleveland where everything you need is less than 15 minutes away.
It's this ideal planning framework where human needs and desires are accessible within a 15-minute walk, bicycle ride, or transit trip. And that's really what we're striving for in this new planning model.
Life from where you shop to where you work, all within a 15-minute walk.
Sounds pretty nice, right? Cities around the country are already doing it. NBC2 meteorologist Lauren Hope finds out if during Ian recovery, it could be a reality here in Southwest Florida.
The things I've found in the cities I've worked in, what makes a downtown appealing is I don't have to go outside of the downtown for, say, a grocery store or for a gas station or for a dry cleaner. We really want to make this the 15-minute city.
The 15-minute city is an urban planning concept where everyday necessities are easily reachable within a 15-minute walk or a 15-minute bike ride. This concept can promote more green spaces, but it can also decrease carbon emissions.
Imagine a city where everything you need is just a short walk or bike ride away. A place where work, groceries, schools, and parks are all within a 15-minute radius. Welcome to the concept of a 15-minute city. Cities around the world have committed to implementing a 15-minute city structure, which many believe will be the way of the future. Paris has taken major strides toward that goal by constructing more than 600 miles of protected bike lanes and introducing more green spaces. That kind of infrastructure encourages sustainable ways of getting around, contributing to reduced traffic congestion and a healthier urban ecosystem. The positive impact observed from the 15-minute city model have caught the attention of the United States. Inspired by Paris's approach, Cleveland's mayor has initiated a similar plan, aiming to transform significant portions of the city into healthier, more connected living spaces. But not everyone is happy about the idea.
If they do limit people to those places, that is exactly what people are terrified of. If they embrace this concept and create this model and then somehow or another mandate that you stay inside that, that's terrifying.
I would agree. So they're already being built here in America, the concentration camp, I mean the 15-minute cities. And what's sad is a lot of Americans are going along with it, thinking they're doing something altruistic, saving the planet. No, what do you translate that with? Building a concentration camp is what you're doing. Now here's a map of many of the proposed 15-minute cities in America. And they're all over, but notice where they're at. I found this very, very intriguing. Most of them are loaded up heavy on the coasts, right? Not much going on in the middle. Now, let's go back to the biodiversity treaty back in the 90s from the UN. And let me explain. The blue areas was the plan way back then for where people were going to live. All the other areas, the red's completely off limits. The yellow is what's called buffer zones. Remember what the lady said in the 2030 thing? Protected nature, right? You don't get access. But notice the bulk of it is just like that map with these cities, 15-minute cities in the United States of America. It's almost exactly like that. And then a little bit on the West Coast. Not much going on in the middle. I'm sure that's just a quinkadink. But they got one thing. just in case you don't go along with this, because remember, we're headed for an angrier world, but too bad, we're going to do it anyway. You might resist. You might say, I'm not giving up my home. You know what they're going to do? Remember the phrase build back better that Biden ran on that we saw before is straight from Klaus. Klaus says that all the time, build back better with the Great Reset. So anybody that says that phrase says they're working for Klaus, including Biden. Build back better needs to be translated this. I'm going to give you another translation. We're going to destroy the existing system and build it back better with their system. So when you hear build back better, it implies first destroy. Now, if you resist becoming a 15-minute city and they want your area, guess what they're going to do? They will destroy it so they can build it back better, just like they did with Maui. The truth's coming out now. Watch this.
The fake Maui wildfires were orchestrated by the globalist elite to poison our air, water, and soil and redistribute property into the hands of the elite, according to a World Economic Forum insider who warns that build back better literally means destroying things first and then rebuilding according to the New World Order plans. The World Economic Forum is using Maui as ground zero to launch a devastating attack on the people, which has laid the groundwork for the rapid reconstruction of the island into 15-minute cities designed to lock down ordinary people in vast outdoor prisons from which there will be no escape. This evil plan has been in the works for years, and now we are seeing it play out in all its grisly details before our very eyes. The global elite earmarked Hawaii as the world's first smart island, and plans have been in the works for the last few years to start the rapid transformation from the island's traditional way of life to Klaus Schwab's 2030 vision. But there was just one problem. The historical districts in Hawaii, which happen to be where the most desirable and expensive properties are located, are owned by locals who did not want to sell. And because they were historical towns, they couldn't have any new developments. Raylene from Maui explains what's happening on the ground.
I'm Raylene and located in Maui. I live in Kihei and I wanted to share some local updates. Shocking, or maybe not. Did you hear about the fires? Did you hear that the government of Hawaii states our goal is to rebuild and make the entire island of Maui the first smart island? They want the entire island governed by AI, is outlined in the Hawaii Digital Government Summit of 2023 that they plan to host next month on September 25th, 2023 on Maui. Wow. Now they're going to come to the rescue for this horrible problem. And last January in 2023, there was a smart city conference in Maui to turn Maui again into the smart city island, pushing everything electric, making 15-minute smart cities. And there was also a contract last year to build a high-rise condo complex and businesses in Lahaina, which is a historic town that couldn't have any new development in this area. But now it's demolished. So now I guess they have to rebuild, right?
It just so happens that the parts of the island mainly destroyed by the so-called wildfires were prime real estate owned by ordinary everyday people, located right next to lavish mega mansions owned by the likes of Jeff Bezos, Lady Gaga, Bill Gates, and Hollywood stars like Will Smith and Julia Roberts. WEF partners McDonald's, Burger King, and other big box stores were also mysteriously unaffected. How did the fire know to avoid the most expensive mansions and big box retailers?
Yeah, that's kind of strange, Wally. Almost like it was deliberately done. Interesting. So again, why would they be interested in turning Hawaii, an island, into one of these places? I don't know. My theory is like, you ever been to Alcatraz? Lived in Northern California for 19 years. We did that several times. Take family down and go visit Alcatraz. What was Alcatraz? A prison on an island. Have fun escaping that. Wow. You know, I like this photo. It's called a smart city because if they called it a concentration camp, you might not want to live there.
Right.
Word salads, man. But you might think, hey, okay, come on, Pastor Billy. I mean, is it really going to be that bad, these 15-minute cities? I mean, is it really? No. Remember, again, it's a concentration camp. I got to share this one. Can someone explain to me this Build Back Better thing, how it's supposed to work? I think you're all starting to get played. Again, you destroy like with Maui, seeing build it back. And that's just the tip. They're going to destroy everything. They're going to raise it to the ground, our whole economy, our whole American way of life, and they're going to build it back with theirs. But is it really going to be that bad? Well, if you think that your new tiny home that you've given up all your freedom for is going to be anything near the 500 square feet spacious, like the show on the TV thing to brainwash you, you are fooling yourself. They've got tiny homes in China already. Here's what it's really going to be like. But you'll find that out after you get there. Like what Hitler did with the concentration camp. So watch this.
Lockdown in China is one of the most eerie things you will ever see. If you didn't know, hundreds of millions have been placed back into some form of lockdown in China recently. People are being boxed up and led through the airport if their QR code is red in whatever that this thing is. They've got robots spraying disinfectant in the airport. They're also using drones to fly through lockdown areas to warn them not to step foot out of their apartments. Oh, and they got this little dog-looking robot thing with a megaphone strapped to its back while it's walking through the streets. Here's a bunch of health workers doing a little creepy dance. Even the riot police in China are dressed in these eerie white hazmat suits. People could be seen sleeping next to urinals as a public restroom was turned into a quarantine site. And that is the sound of millions of people screaming out of their windows from the apartments they've been locked in.
Notice the bars on the windows.
These are the coffin homes of Hong Kong. An estimated 200,000 people live in these critically tiny spaces. From sleeping to cooking, these coffin cubicles are flats which are divided into 15 120 square foot apartments. One man who suffers from sclerosis pays $300 a month for 18 square feet, and the bathrooms are shared by at least a dozen other residents.
You know, like a prison. You know, like what Hitler did. Speaking of being duped, and we're going to close with this. This is crazy, creepy info, right? Yeah, let's go back to Wednesday. I feel so pumped every time I leave here. No, we got it. We translate this as they're building the Antichrist kingdom. We leave prior. But there's people saying, you know what? There's hope on the horizon. As long as Trump gets in, he's going to reverse all this. We're going to close. I'm going to blitz it through you. This isn't all of it. Here's some of my concerns as to why I think, unfortunately, no, it won't change. Number one, as we've seen many times before, he is still a huge supporter of the LGBT alphabet gang. And he's even ramping it up even more this election cycle, compromising even more, including Melania. I got a problem with that. As a Christian, that's a moral issue. Number two, he still will not call out the COVID pandemic, let alone the COVID death shots, for what they are. If you and I, the average Joe, can figure this out, you know he's got greater access than we do. And you still won't call it out? I have another moral issue, especially when it's not hurting people. It's killing people. Then he's now saying he will not back a national ban on abortion. I thought he was pro-life. So now he's sliding on that issue. And then what blew me away, of all things to say that you're going to launch if you get into office again, is not 15-minute cities. No way. That's too obvious. They're called freedom cities. On tape.
Past generations of Americans pursued big dreams and daring projects that once seemed absolutely impossible. They pushed across an unsettled continent and built new cities in the wild frontier. They transformed American life with the interstate highway system, magnificent it was, and they launched a vast network of satellites into orbit all around the Earth. But today, our country has lost its boldness. Under my leadership, we will get it back in a very big way. If you look at just 3 years ago, what we were doing was unthinkable. How good it was, how great it was for our country. Our objective will be a quantum leap in the American standard of living. That's what will happen. Here are just a few of the ways we can do it. Almost one-third of the landmass of the United States is owned by the federal government, with just a very, very small portion of that land, just a fraction, one-half of 1%. Would you believe that? We should hold a contest to charter up to 10 new cities and award them to the best proposals for development. In other words, we'll actually build new cities in our country again. These freedom cities will reopen the frontier, reignite American imagination, and give hundreds of thousands of young people and other people, all hardworking families, a new shot at home ownership and, in fact, the American dream. Another big opportunity is in transportation. Dozens of major companies in the United States and China are racing to develop vertical takeoff and landing vehicles for families and individuals.
In other words, flying cars.
Oh, yeah.
Freedom cities? Because 15-minute cities are a little too obvious. Flying cars being crowded into a new, improved city? It's the exact same thing she said, folks. That's why I highlighted the flying car scenario. Is this also why Trump's daughter Ivanka is a graduate of Klaus's School of Young Global Leaders? This is on the whitehouse.gov archive. I'm going to zoom in for you. I highlight an area down there, and it says, quote, she, Ivanka, was honored as a young global leader at the World Economic Forum in 2015. Whoa. Notice it says there, and her husband, Jared Kushner. Is this also why Jared Kushner was in charge of Operation Warp Speed with the COVID death rollout? And he said this in his memoirs. Across 4 years, I helped negotiate the largest trade deal in history, pass bipartisan criminal justice reform, and launch Operation Warp Speed to deliver a safe and effective COVID-19 vaccine in record time. Safe and effective? Murdering, genetically modifying people against their will, and you know they know. And then genetically modifying people against their will, why would you? Because that's transhumanism, right? And then why in the world, in his memoirs, when he was doing an interview on it, he makes statements like a transhumanist thinking that he's going to live forever on tape.
The one thing I've tried to put a priority on since I left the White House was, you know, getting some exercise in. I think that there's a good probability that my generation is, hopefully with the advances in science, either, you know, the first generation to live forever or the last generation that's going to die. And so we need to keep ourselves in pretty good shape.
Apparently, Jared Kushner thinks he will become immortal. That was a Q&A for his upcoming book, Breaking History. And he's got some backlash on Twitter, including Steve Bannon taking a swing, saying a transhumanist, we're going to define that word in a second, who believes it's a real possibility that he could live forever and never die, put himself in charge of Project Warp Speed, the effort to rush an experimental gene therapy or vaccine through trials toward an emergency use authorization. Now things begin to become clear.
Yeah.
So who do we vote for?
You get the gospel of Jesus Christ out is what you do. And then I'm sure it's just a quinky-dink that Trump's granddaughter, Ivanka's daughter, Arabella, just happens to sing a song to China's leader in Mandarin. Did you guys see that one? This was strange.
Melania Trump looks stunning at a state dinner in China. The First Lady wore a gorgeous Gucci dress embroidered with traditional Chinese floral decorations. And the First Family may have a secret weapon when it comes to improving relations with China. It's Ivanka Trump's daughter, Arabella. President Trump played this video of his six-year-old granddaughter, who is learning Mandarin from her Chinese nanny, for the Chinese president. President Trump sure looks like a proud grandpa.
What is she doing with the Chinese nanny? What do you know that we don't know? And then I'm sure it's quinky-dink that Trump, when he went to the World Economic Forum, of all things, he said this about Klaus on tape.
President, what is your message to the senators that
you're trying to call and change our hearts?
Why is it better to be here in Davos than in Washington, D.C.?
Well, we're here meeting with world leaders, the biggest, most important people in the world, and we're bringing back tremendous business in the United States, and they're all here to see. I'll be making a speech, and then we'll be leaving shortly. But I think it's very important. The other's just a hoax. It's the witch hunt that's been going on for years, and it's frankly, it's disgraceful. But we look forward to being here. Klaus has done a fantastic job. Klaus has done a fantastic job.
Klaus has done a fantastic job.
Klaus has done a fantastic job.
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 Klaus has done a fantastic job.
Well, maybe he had to say that because, you know, what that means, you lied. And if you're going to lie that flippantly, then what else you lying about? Either way, it's not good. What's the point? The point is Biden was brought in to begin the destruction. When they mean build back better, it's destroy the current system to rebuild it with their system, the Great Reset. And Jesus said, when you see these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because the redemption draws near. Amen. What did we expect the last days to look like? We saw two studies ago, 2 Thessalonians 2. The Antichrist kingdom is going to be implemented through lies and deceit, lies and deceit, lies and deceit. We're there. The good news is we don't lose, we win. The even greater privileged news is we have the privilege to tell as many people that there is no political savior. Nobody's going to come rescue you. No government's going to get sorry. That's the reality. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ can. And you can escape it. And you need to. Because if you don't, you're going to the prison planet. And just like Jesus said, the last place you would ever want to go is to your home. Don't make that mistake. Make sure your home is in heaven and you go at the rapture. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our study tonight. And just thank you again. It's crazy. It's creepy. But really, the translation is, man, these guys are so far along. It's not 20 years down the road. They ain't got a ton of time left to build the infrastructure so the Antichrist can just grab the keys and run with it. It's already here. It's everywhere. And so again, God, what do we expect the last days to look like? Did we expect to leave here sitting on a couch? You never said it'd be easy. But you did say this. We do not need to be afraid. Be of good courage. It's 365 times in the Bible, one for every day. Because you're the one who's in charge. And as bad as it gets, how far we're into this, you will take care of us. We don't worry about our lives, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. We seek first your kingdom, your righteousness. You'll take care of us. We don't have to be anxious about anything. We just pray. And you'll take care of it. Even if you got to send a bird to give us food, you'll do it. But in the meantime, we keep looking up and we keep telling people how to get out of this mess. Because we know we're out of here. But there's a lot of people being duped, thinking they're building a tiny home, saving the planet, when they're actually preparing their own coffin. And we need to be people of compassion to love them enough to tell them Jesus is the way out, the only way out. May that be what we spend our time doing. But thank you for our study tonight. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people say. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith.
Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.